Thursday, any of his thunder other than to say that he came on relatively short notice to join us, and we're grateful that short notice was all it took. So, Larry, come on up and share.
Good morning. As Eric said, I'm Larry Sundelbach, and glad to be here. One verse I want to cover this morning first thing, let's bow with prayer. Father God, as we are here for a little devotional, Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to be here and on all of our hearts, in our minds. And may you bring to my mind the points that you want me to bring out. We thank you, and we lift this up to you as we pray and ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Joshua 24:15, "And it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I pray that everybody here has chosen that, to serve the Lord our God. At least you're in the right place to be doing that. As Eric mentioned, I did come on short notice. My wife and I, a relatively new Adventist, we found the Sabbath, the last Sabbath of June of 2004. And again, we found the Sabbath. Came in and started home churching with two other families that had just found the Sabbath also. We did not join the Seventh-day Adventist Church we started going to a Seventh-day Adventist Conference church in 2007. And we kind of got brought in. We kind of got kicked out of our other group, even though we helped form it up. And praise the Lord, we got kicked out. But a few years ago, after we started hearing about this Amazing Facts group and then hearing about AFCO, I started having the desire to come. And we had no money for doing such a thing, and 4 months was a long time to be gone from home. But we prayed about it for quite a while. And then about 10 months ago now, 10, 11 months ago, we prayed one morning and we said, "Lord, we're just giving it to you. If you desire me to go, we're just totally giving it to you." And we dropped it right there. We said, "Okay, Lord, we're not going to keep bugging you. We're just giving it to you." Well, January 26th was registration day. Two Thursdays before that, I got a notification. We were sitting at breakfast, my wife and I, and I literally started laughing. And she looked at me, and she said, "God just spoke to you. What did he tell you?" Now, does my wife know me? She knew it was a different laughter. She knew it was something special. And I said, "I'm supposed to go to AFCO. I'm supposed to check this out." So when I got on the website and said, "2 weeks! I've got 2 weeks!" Well, I started packing that day, even though I didn't really fill my application out till Sunday night. And I didn't even have the gas money to come down here. But we started talking to people. And I got $100 here, and then I got spoke on Wednesday night prayer meeting. And a person that had just started coming that I barely knew, he woke me up Thursday morning and said, "God has impressed me to give you $500. Oh. And then a church member gave $200, and another church member gave $100. And we're still praying and packing. And then an interesting thing happened with a woman that had come out to look at our property from Tennessee, and we live up in Washington, up in the mountains. This woman from Tennessee came out looking at property. I heard about it, so I went and picked her up, her two sisters, and showed her my property. And I knew shortly after taking them around that this was not going to work for them. So we just went into fellowship and had him for lunch. And I mean, I give him a tour of the property, but we went on. I took him back to their motel, and we sat at the motel and just sat there and talked, the three of us. We just had a wonderful fellowship, but I knew there was no sale, and that's okay. Well, the Sabbath before January 26th, I get a phone call. I've been trying to call them to talk to them, make sure they got home safely, and she was trying to find my address to send me a thank you card for the fellowship we had had. And she had looked and looked and looked. She had everything she had from Washington trip in one little bag, all the realtors, all everything, and she could not find my name and address. Well, Sabbath, just before she went to bed that Saturday night, God prompted her to look one more time. And right on top, she lifted one or two papers, and there was my information. And she called me. I was on the phone with my daughter at home and making sure she had made it home because of the weather. And she said, "Hey, Dad, somebody's calling in." And it was a strange number, and I thought, well, AFCA wouldn't be calling tonight. But so I said, just leave it go. Don't answer it. And then a couple minutes later, my cell phone is jingling. So I said, "I got to go, Cindy. That's that same number you just talked about." And it was this woman in Tennessee. And I told my wife, "Start praying." And after she told me what was going on with them, then she said, "But I got to go to bed. It's late. I got to go to bed." And I said, "Can I share something with you first? What's happening in my life?" And she said, "Yeah, sure, yes." So I started explaining that God had called me to go to AFCO. And I was still trying to explain a few things. She said, "Wait a minute, Larry, wait a minute. Just stop." "Sure, okay, what's up?" "Larry, there's $1,000 coming to you." "Yeah, I've known this lady for 4 hours. And God touched her heart." Now, that's all the money I had received until I came January 26th. But Denise called up on Wednesday, and, "Are you coming?" I said, "Well, I don't have the money, Denise. I don't know. I said, "It doesn't look like it." And she said, "Well, we're calling. We're running out of room, so we're trying to really tone it down to how many are coming." And I said, "Well, doesn't look good." "Well, Larry, maybe you need to step out in faith." "Did God call you?" "Yes, he did." "Well, maybe you need to step out in faith." So now I had the gas money. So I said, "Okay." So I called a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Wayne Cablano. He's a church planner up in our conference area up there in Spokane. And I said, "Pastor," I said, "is this presumption or is this faith?" I'd already been talking to him about AFCO and re-explained. And he said, "Larry," he said, "I agree with this lady at AFCO. You need to step out in faith." I said, "Okay." I had made up my mind that 12 noon was the deadline. If I hadn't decided to go by 12 noon, it was over. So all of a sudden I said, "Hey, Wayne, what time is it?" And he said, "It's 11:45. I said, "Yeah, I guess I'm going." And a lot of things have happened, haven't they, Eric? A lot of good things. I was just explaining to Eric yesterday and again this morning that things that I thought were under control were just barely under the surface. And here at AFCO, I see some of these little things bubbling up. And I'm going back to that 2 weeks before registration when I started smiling and laughing because something was revealed to me. And I said, "Oh, I thought I had that under control, Lord." And he's like, "Well, I guess not, huh?" It is so heartwarming to be here and to be seeing these things and to be able to grow. And I'm obviously not one of the younger members of the class. But it's a joy to see all the young people. And I was expressing to this to one of them, and they said, "Larry, it's great to see you older people here." Okay, so we have a lot of jokes about the older people. But Bill and I, there's another fellow, he's even 2 years older than I am, so we have a lot of fun with it. But up in Spokane, I worked with a Bible Worker Coordinator program up there. And I don't know if any of you heard about that in the Upper Columbia Conference. We're the only conference in the world that has a Bible Worker Coordinator program. And now other conferences are starting to ask about it. How are you doing this? What are you doing? And they were training people not to be Bible workers, but to be Bible worker trainers. But my health didn't hold. I couldn't stay with it. But the head of that group, Dave Livermore, has kind of entitled me as one of his cheerleaders, or his cheerleader, actually, because I try to encourage people. And this week, I received a little package in the mail, because even though I can't go out and do the work that was being done, I still go to the meetings every other month, and I try to cheer up the people, be an encourager. That's one of my gifts, as an encourager. And about a month and a half, about a month before I came down here, one of our people had lost his job and was really discouraged. And when I heard about it, I went and drove out of my way kind of to go visit with him one night as soon as he got home. And I ended up getting a blessing from that. And just a couple days ago, yesterday or day before, I got this little package in the mail. And when I saw who it was from, I thought, oh, what is in here? What is in here? It was a little gift saying, thank you so much for caring enough to come the long distance and the late of night and the subsequent visits to encourage Dale. You called yourself a cheerleader for God. So here is your emblem. Sincerely, Linda. I'm looking at the box. I'm going, oh, what has she done? What has she done? But we had joked around about being a cheerleader. So she sent me... She sent me some miniature pom-poms. She has on there, Larry S. Cheerleader. You know, isn't that what we need sometimes? A little encouragement. We've had into just a discouraging day. You know, I was raised as a Catholic. And I was a serious Catholic for a lot of times, for a long time, up into my 30s. And there are a lot of good people out there in all denominations, right? And I really didn't know God. I knew of him, but is that good enough? You know, even Satan knows of him, right? As I really found God about 25 years ago, I started looking back over my life. I spent 3 years in the military, 2 years in Vietnam, and I was not in one of the real easy, safe areas. I was on a Cambodian border on a special team. And I look back. After I really found God, I look back and said, oh, you were there, 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 you were. It was just constant all over. He was there. I never should have come back except in a body bag with all the things that I did and where I was. I should have never come back alive. But I kind of joke about it. I come back with all my fingers and toes and all the points in between. I just lost part of my sanity. It took 10 years to recover that, most of it. You know, there is, you know, and I didn't think there was anything wrong with me for a long time. I actually ended up going back in the military 8 years after Vietnam. I went back into the military, and it took 2 years, and I felt recovered after that. But God was there. God was there. And even at that time, I still didn't really know him. It still took another 10 years before I really found him. And he was faithful all that time. He waited for me and waited for me. I praise God for his long suffering. I praise God for his long suffering and his protectiveness. You know, I have kept my guardian angel busy. And I am looking forward to the day when I can meet in person my guardian angel and apologize in person. But in all the experiences I've had, I can share so much. People have come to me, and even in the last 20 years, my wife and I have gone through a lot of things, raising grandchildren and losing jobs and just all types of things. Just we could spend till noon explaining a lot of different things that have happened to us just in the last 20 years. And I used to wonder, God, why have I been going through all these things? I mean, am I that bad that I need that much correction? And then I started realizing that he's using me because I am more or less a friendly sort of a person. You know, the only friends are just people I haven't met yet. You know, I can go to the grocery store and I can strike up a conversation with just about anybody. So he's using that. But he has put me through a lot of things so I can share with people. And we need to share. We need to share our experiences. One guy got violently mad with me because he had just lost his children to CPS or something. I forget what it was. It was some incident, and I told him, I have an idea what you're going through. Now, listen to my words. I have an idea of what you're going through. I didn't say, I know what you're going through. And he just went off on me. And when he settled down, I said, I have an idea. Now here's what I went through. And I started explaining it to him. And then he really settled down. And he said, wow, you really do have an idea what I'm going through. And I said, yes, that's what I said. I have an idea. And then we were able to talk for a long time. So I don't know what's in your lives where you have gone through something. Be prepared for God to bring somebody into your life that you need to share with. You know, be prepared, because we are to share our experiences. They are not ours own for personal. They are not just for our correction or our growing. They are for other people too. Don't be afraid to be a cheerleader and an encourager. You know, you may someday get a little set of pom-poms. You know,
I'm sorry. The Anthony's do this all the time.
Be an encourager. I've bounced around a little bit, trying to share a few different things. This experience, though, here with Amazing Facts, with AFCO, you people are blessed to be here, you know, working and keeping a ministry going. People from all walks of life are accidentally coming across material, a radio or TV program. This is important. This is important. You know, Don't give up. When you have a bad day, look for some pom-poms, okay? In closing, I want to close with another verse, Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, we all have some darkness in our hearts. I was told once years ago that our hearts are basically black, and that's because of Satan. We need to get that blackness out. We need, you know, make that as minimal as we can. So we're needing to be constantly asking God to create in us that clean heart, renew in us that right spirit. Let's close with prayer. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity to come here and be a cheerleader. When I come down here, I had no idea that this opportunity would present itself, but I thank you, Father, for using me, for speaking through me. Father, I ask a special blessing on everyone here right now to help them have the desire to encourage somebody, at least one person today, to truly encourage them, whether it's on a phone call or whether it's a fellow worker that's down a little bit. Father, please use us in your service. Father, I lift this up and I pray and ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.